I love this morning. I love any time this baptistry's up here because that means awesome things are happening. And singing that song, like what you're experiencing today, these stories that you're going to hear of meeting Jesus, right? Jesus doesn't just make like this life better. Like he doesn't just make us better people. He brought us from death to life. And that's the stories that we're hearing this morning of individuals who have been brought out of darkness and death into life. This morning, we're going to hear about that life a little bit. You know, we're walking through Psalms, and it's crazy how God just brings things together. That we're going to be in Psalm 63 this morning, a psalm where David is crying out about his thirst. As we have this pool of water up here, and David is speaking of thirst. And I want to look at that this morning. David had every right to be crying out in thirst, given where he was when he wrote Psalm 63. Now, we've talked about David's life going through the Psalms and how you can see in David's life, he hit rock bottom like a number of times. He spent quite a few days there. Psalm 63 was one of those days where he had been running from his own son who was coming after him because he wanted his throne, his life. Everything for David was in jeopardy. Everything he once knew, all the comforts of this world, of his life, were at jeopardy of being lost, and he was running away from his own son and found himself in the desert. And in the desert, he speaks of this land as being a dry, parched, weary land. In the midst of this moment in David's life, he pens one of the most incredible psalms. The early church fathers believed that no day should go by without the church publicly reading Psalm 63. When they would come together, they often would sing what they call the morning psalm together before they did anything. They believed this to be so important that we as believers are reminded of David's words in Psalm 63. So I want to do that this morning. I want us to read Psalm 63 together as a church and kind of join in. I think it's always cool when we can join in with what the early church was doing and be part of this broader, greater church family of God. So I want us to all stand, if you can stand, and I want you to read with me the words that David pens in the desert. Remember where he's writing this because it's amazing. In the desert. Running away, everything in jeopardy of being lost. I'll put it up on the screen for you. Here it is. Psalm 63. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Amen. You may be seated. This is an incredible psalm given where David has written it. David has lost everything and is in jeopardy of losing all the things he once knew, his throne, his life, his family, the very place where he would worship God, and he is in the desert. And he cries out in this moment of his thirst. And yet in this moment where he has lost everything, where others have been, right? The Israelites have wandered around the wilderness, around the desert. And when they didn't have these things, they grumbled and complained. David is in a similar place, has lost everything. And yet he is singing and he is satisfied. How is that possible that in the midst of having nothing that this world offers, he can experience abundant life in the middle of the desert? He was experiencing such life that Charles Spurgeon says of David in Psalm 63 that while desert surrounded him, there was no desert in his heart. How? How? It was because David had one pursuit. He had one longing. He speaks about this thirst, this longing, these desires. And in the midst of the pressures and the loss of everything he once knew, his longing was for God. His longing was for communion and more closeness to the creator of the universe. So much so that as you read Psalm 63, many writers have said it sounds like David is an addict. He shows tendencies of addiction towards God, right? That an addict has one thing on their mind that if they can just get this one thing or more of it, then they'll be happy, they'll be satisfied, they'll be content. And they think about it as soon as they wake up, they think about it as they're going to sleep. It's the one thing that's on their mind. Here, David shows those tendencies, but it's all directed towards God, right? He says, earnestly I seek you. In the Hebrew, that says, early in the morning I seek you. David rolls out of bed. He wakes up, opens his eyes, and his pursuit, his desire, his longing is to seek after God. A few verses later, David says, as I'm in my bed, right? As I'm rolling over in bed, as I can't fall asleep, as the watches of the night progress, I have one pursuit, one thing on my mind, and that is to seek God earnestly. In the midst of a place where David has lost all creature comforts that this world has to offer, he is experiencing abundant life. He is singing and he is satisfied because his desire, his pursuit is relationship and closeness with God. He sounds like he has this consuming addiction. And his consuming addiction is to experience more of the greatness of God's love for him. Now, we all come in here. We've experienced what it means to thirst, right? You think back, hopefully you're enjoying this cooler weekend. It's even better considering where we came from last weekend, right? Where it was crazy hot. Crazy hot. And it's amazing how when the heat settles, when the heat comes into life, right, it makes us incredibly aware of our thirst. You can go through a spring day, you can go through a winter day and not really be concerned about your thirst and quenching it. But when heat is applied to life, we are totally and keenly aware of our thirst. When the pressures of this world, the pressures of life settle into our lives and we experience the heat that there is in living this life and the pressures and the trials and the temptations that are thrown at us, as the heat is applied to our lives, it is amazing how keenly aware we become of our thirst and longing. David was, and he knew exactly where to go with it. And that's why he sounded like he had this consuming addiction. Unfortunately, for far too many of us, we experience this thirst. We all come in here. We have this longing for something more, to be known, to be loved, to have something more than this world offers us. But we begin to chase after all the things of this world to have it met. And so instead of having this consuming addiction, God becomes a convenient addition to our lives. And so we seek after what this world has to offer, right? We go after careers, we go after power, we go after money, we go after all these things, having fun, experiences, and we just tack God on, a convenient addition to all these things. And we come to the end of the day and we still thirst and we still feel empty and we're still longing for something more. We do our best to make ourselves comfortable and happy, but we still long for more. And yet David, in what seems like the most uncomfortable and unhappy moment of his life, is experiencing life abundantly. Because he came to realize, and trust me, David experienced the things this world has to offer. He experienced power. He experienced victory in battle. Right? He experienced having money. He experienced having anything he wanted or desired at his fingertips, just at the ask, and he has it. He experienced all of that, but felt empty and continued to long until he experienced the greatness of God's love towards him. And when he experienced that, he comes out and says, "This love, God, that you have for me is better than life. Nothing compares." So in the midst of the desert, David is singing and satisfied and experiences abundant life. And yet we sit here and we long, we thirst for something more. Then Jesus comes along. Now listen, every time you read the Old Testament, anytime you read the Psalms, right? Think, how is this pointing to Jesus? Because it all points to Jesus. Jesus is going to come along later in John 7, and he's going to start to speak to this thirst that we have as humans, this longing for something more. And he's going to do it at a really interesting time. In John 7, there's a festival going on. It's called the Feast of Booths. Okay, the Feast of Booths was a festival that the Israelites celebrated to remember all that God had done for them as they wandered through the wilderness. So what they would do is they would leave their homes for the week, and they would set up tents outside of their homes and live in those tents for the week. And throughout the week, they would reenact different things to remind themselves of the miraculous things that God had done while they were in the wilderness. So they'd remember that time we were in the wilderness and there was no food, there was no place for us to get anything to eat, and God miraculously makes food fall from the sky. Remember that time we were so hungry and God sent all these birds into camp? They just hopped up on the table for us to eat. Remember those moments when we had nothing and God provided? And they would spend the week remembering God providing when there was nothing there for them to eat. They'd remember, do you remember how we had no water to sustain us in the wilderness? We had nothing. Do you remember that time that God made water gush out of places that water should not be gushing? Do you remember how God provided? And they would spend that week remembering how God had given them life in a dry and weary land where they should not have had life. And so the people are celebrating this festival, and Jesus is there with them. John 7, 37, this is all happening. One of the things that they would do is they would go down to the pool of Siloam and they would take a bucket of water, living water, it was a living spring, right? They'd take the water and they'd carry it up the hill and they'd take it through the water gate and they would dump it as an offering to God, remembering how he had provided and given and sustained life when life should not have been sustained. In the midst of all this, Jesus stands up. John 7, 37, on the last and greatest day of this festival, Jesus stood up and he said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." As they were remembering how God had provided life when there should not have been life, Jesus stands up and says, "You guys still thirsty? Are you guys still longing for something more? You've just tasted the best that religion and ritualism can offer you. Are you still thirsty? If you are, come to me and drink." Jesus was declaring, listen, you've experienced what religion and remembrance can offer you, but are you still longing for something more? Come to me and drink. And this morning he cries out with the same appeal to us, because we come in here a broken and battered people, a people who are thirsting for something more. And Jesus cries out, "You who are thirsty, you who are weary, You who carry such a heavy burden, come to me and find satisfaction. Find rest. Find life. Jesus says, look around. This is it. This is the best it's going to get. At best, maybe you get 100 years in this life. Maybe you accrue for yourself a good amount of wealth and you get to sit back and enjoy the fleeting comforts of this world. And some of us, we collect all those things and we get them, and at the end of the day, we still long for something more. Because joy will never be found in the latest and greatest. Life will never be found in having more. Jesus is the source of life. Jesus is the source of joy. It's Jesus that your heart is longing and desiring and thirsting for, and only Jesus can meet all those needs. And only Jesus can offer abundant life in the midst of the desert. When you understand what this longing is and you hear of the greatness of God's love for you, it's hard to not become a consuming addict and longing for more of God's love in our lives. So we come, we long, we thirst. We hear David in a desert land, thirsting and yet fully satisfied because he's got God. And now Jesus says, all you who long and thirst, come to me and experience life. That longing, those desires, that thirst that you have is all met in me. And when we find this, it's amazing. Jesus talks about this a little bit. I'm going to close with Matthew 13. Jesus tells a parable of what it's like for those who find Jesus. What it's like for those who hear the gospel and respond and understand the greatness of God's love towards us. He says it's like this. Imagine there's a man walking through a field, right? And he's walking through the field and he just so happens to trip over this incredibly valuable treasure. This isn't his field, so it's not his treasure. And so he sees the treasure, he buries the treasure, and Jesus says, enjoy. He goes away and sells everything so that he can have this one thing. Do you hear hints of Psalm 63 in there? Your love, Lord, is better than life. Nothing compares. I will give it all up. There is nothing in this world that satisfies. All I want, Jesus, is you. And when we come to that point in our lives, we have come to experience abundant life. And the longings of our heart, the thirst of our heart and soul are met in him. That's what I love so much about our Celebration Sunday. We get to hear stories of people who have experienced moving from death to abundant life. Not because now Jesus has promised to give us health, wealth, and happiness. Absolutely not. He's promised to give us himself. And in knowing him and being with him, we experience abundant life both now and forevermore. And so we're going to have men and women crawl into this baptistry up here. And kids, I want you to know, you can come up here and feel this water later. If your parents let you feel it, touch it. There's nothing magical about this water. But something incredible is going to happen when they come into this water, because they are going to tell us of how they came from death to life. We're going to ask them two questions when they crawl in here. We're going to say, are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of eternal life? And we're going to ask them, are you confident that you are part of God's forever family? And pending their answer, which we hope at this point is yes, we're going to put them under. And in them going under, that is signifying that they are dying. They are dying to themselves. They are dying to this world. They are saying there is nothing that compares to the greatness of knowing God. They are dying to themselves and to this world. But they're not going to stay under. They're going to come back up, and we are going to go wild. Because in coming back up, they're saying, but I am alive and I have found abundant life in Christ. And I have found joy, and I have found rest, and I have found peace. And I have found forgiveness and the gift of life forever in the presence of a God who loves us greatly. And it's going to be incredible. From death to life. And so that's what we're going to do right now. If you're getting baptized, if you haven't moved up yet, make sure you come up front. And we're going to start rolling into these stories and experiencing what God has done.